Welcome to the show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Luke Rogers alongside this morning. My name is Braden Gall. You can get to him on Twitter at the Luke Rogers.
Yeah, that's it right there.
That's where it is.
You know, it's funny.
The Luke Rogers.
Everybody says like...
Julian Council producing, by the
everybody
way.
Everybody thinks that's narcissistic or something, but the truth about it is that...
Luke Rogers was already taken.
Yeah. And then...
Lies.
I tried to figure out what to do.
Ooh, are you calling out Luke Rogers, Julian Council?
Yeah, it's not
that
true.
That just happened?
I don't believe that. Not even for a second.
He thinks it's entirely narcissistic and...
The fact that you didn't even bring it up.
He's mad because I said he was smug earlier on his answer.
That's not something he'd be mad about. He'd probably
no, I think it got him. He's a little mad behind the glass.
Intern Calvin as well, hanging out back there in the room. There's a smug cloud rolling in back there.
I can't even see through that cloud of smug back there.
No, it's because the mic's in front of you.
Oh, well done.
Look at this guy.
This is good stuff. But, I'm just going to let you guys go.
Listen, honestly.
Same thing on Monday.
I tried to get an email because I wanted to grow up from my dumb high school email that I had made up, which has nothing to do with my name. And Luke Rogers, Luke.Rogers, those were all taken. So I said, what about the Luke Rogers?
There you go.
The.
It's and better than the underscore.
It was like, remember the Titans was coming out, and it was like, the running back, y'all? And so I thought, I could be the Luke Rogers, y'all.
It's way better than the underscore. That's all that matters. Like, the underscore.
Underscores are tough to find on the keyboard. You got to hold shift. Who wants to do that?
Well, and then you have to, when you say it, you type in, if it was Braden underscore Gall, are people typing in the word underscore to find my Twitter account?
Underscore.
UNDERS. Are they actually? The underscore is rough.
Maybe people that are very literal would be that way. Is underscore one word or
when
two
you
words?
Read a Twitter account on the air, though, you've got to say, you have to explain all the weirdnesses about it. A Buck Rising comes on to talk about the Titans, and it's like, Buck Rising, R-E-I-S-I-N-G. You have to tell
right,
people.
Right, because they can't see us here, which is a real.
This is
a real insane problem, though, because there's a lot of handsomeness in this morning show that people just aren't able to appreciate.
Intern Calvin, our show pony. There's no question about
right.
it. All right, so real quickly, this whole we'll get to the what are the Titans' actual chances of winning this game, but I want to quickly address the interesting article that came out last week. Seth Wickersham, I believe, wrote the article. About sort of the discontent or discord inside the Patriots locker room or front office, this long meeting between Belichick and Robert Kraft and how it didn't end particularly well, and that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have never really been particularly close. I think all of it's true. I think all of it is true, and I think absolutely none of it matters to the game this weekend, because the one thing that we know that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are capable of doing is forgetting and ignoring anything and all things to win a football game. So there's not one, if you're a Titans fan thinking and hoping and believing that all of that stuff was true, that there's that Bill Belichick's going to leave at the end of the season, that Tommy and their coach and his coach doesn't get along, and Robert Kraft gave him an ultimatum to either trade Jimmy Garoppolo or not, and he's all upset with his owner now. I think all of it's true. I don't think any of it matters to the game this weekend, though.
I don't think any of it matters either, and that's the thing. These guys are able to put aside their differences and whatever kind of ego, conflicts they have, and they, what they do is win games, and that's winning is the cure all. I don't care what it is you do or who it is you don't like on your team or in your staff. When you win, it cures everything, at least till the off season, and that's what it is. And Bill Belichick's new slogan so far is all in on Tennessee. He doesn't even talk about whatever address the rumors of drama. He's all in on Tennessee, and I mean, Tennessee's got a tough sledding uphill in the snow both ways kind of game.
With a boulder. You're pushing a boulder.
I'm pushing a boulder up the hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough test. But listen, I go back to, was it last season when the Houston Texans almost got the Patriots in the first round? And I believe it was with Brock Osweiler. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... It could be done.
I think Marcus is better than Brock.
Yeah.
I think.
Kevin Byard actually said something funny this week. I don't know if we're going to get to this at any point, but he'd said that the aim for the Titans defense is to make Tom Brady look like Blake Bortles. So once again, our friend Blake Bortles down in Jacksonville is the butt of a joke.
Still playing in the playoffs.
I'm saying after having probably one of his best season, maybe, or his second best season of his short career, and everybody's saying he should be out.
He did not exactly instill a lot of confidence
but
this
by
past
Blake
weekend
Bortles
against Buffalo.
By his standards,
I think
though,
he ran for more yards than he threw for, though. Like that's not a stat that survives in the NFL playoffs. Anyway, how about this? Before we talk about our thoughts on their chances, let's hear from Taylor Lewan, the vocal leader of this Tennessee Titans football team. On the offense. This is from the Rich Eisen Show. Taylor Lewan talking about his team's chances against the Patriots.
I think every single person in the world is probably counting us out in this one. And, the Patriots have consistently gone to the Super Bowl, consistently gone to the AFC Championship, consistently have won Super Bowls with the coaching staff they have there, with the quarterback they have there. So, I mean, I'm not mad at them. But to be honest, you know, there's that old cliche line of any given Sunday. I'm just going to flip that and call it any given Saturday. And we, you know, have a huge opportunity here to make a huge statement. We have a lot of talent on this team, and I'll be the first one to admit that we underachieved this year. But, you know, we got into the dance, and that's all that really matters. So going forward, I mean, going into Foxborough, what an awesome opportunity. What a cool opportunity this is going to be. And I hope, you know, this team takes it as seriously as I'm going to, and we're going to go in there. We're going to get everything we got.
Couple of things. I think his team. I think he's absolutely right about a lot of different things in there. First of all, great answer from him. I think to sort of relish the opportunity to go in and play against the defending champions, the best franchise in this sport for the last two decades. I think that's the only way you can look at it. If you're a Titans player in that locker room, you have to look like if you're not amped up about this opportunity. If you go in there, if you lose the game getting off the bus, you're in trouble. Right. Like that's what we always say about Alabama, right? Is that like. They stand on the sideline, they get off the bus, everybody else looks at them getting off the bus, and they go, oh, crap, we got no chance.
Right.
Well, that's not the way the NFL works. And I think I love that attitude from Taylor because I think that's the only way the Titans do have a chance in this is that if they are extremely loose, extremely confident, no pressure at all because there really isn't any pressure on them to win, not even from their own fan base. This isn't like a house money experience for them. And I think he's right about the locker room being all for it. I think – and I like the we just got into the dance line too. Like it doesn't like all bets are off. Once you get in, you were a 9-point underdog just right. Last week and you won 13 points. That's not that big a deal, right?
Yeah, and
I mean, listen other than to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
I want to give Titans fans some hope here. I want to run through a couple things here just a little bit. First off, the Patriots did lose two games at home this year. That's the first time since 2012. And in 2012, in the playoffs, they lost to the Ravens in the AFC Championship. Brady's been pretty unflappable in the winter, especially in the playoff months. But when you think about it, like you just said, all the pressure at this point really is on New England. That you can play loose, you got nothing to lose in a sense. If you're the Titans, since according to everybody else, you're already 13, 14 point, it might be at 14 at this point, underdog. And look, I mean, it's the proverbial champions. You know, everybody wants to crown them. If you crown them, crown them. You know, the Patriots are the gold standard. So, listen, anything could happen. That's why you play the game. You don't play the game on paper. You don't play it in Madden simulations. It's got to be played on the field. And the Patriots have shown they could lose this season.
And frankly, the message doesn't change. It hasn't changed since the Rams game, the second to last week of the season, where you were already in playoff mode in theory. And listen, they didn't win that game, and I'm just going to ignore the two games before that, Arizona and San Francisco, just for the sake of this argument, because I can. It's my show. So I'm just going to do that. But if you kind of start with that Rams game, where they were playing a very good Rams team, the highest scoring offense in the NFL, they played a very good Jags team, they played a pretty darn good Kansas City team, they've played three really good football games in a row. Now, offensively, were they great against Jacksonville? No. Were they great in the first half against Kansas City? No. Did they have great? Were they great on defense against the Rams? No, but if you do find a way to put all three of them together, can you get the Patriots game to a close game in the fourth quarter? Because that's really all I think you can ask this weekend. And the point is that I'm trying to make is that you had to be loose and you had no pressure against the Rams because they were a heavy favorite and they were one of the best teams in the league. You had to play loose and you had to play confident because the Jags were the best team in the division and already won the division and you needed to win. You had nothing to lose against Kansas City at that point, really nothing to lose, and you reset the whole thing resets when you get to the postseason. I think it just goes to another level here where you just like take some risks, have some fun, fly around the field. There's just nothing to – no one's giving you a shot. You use that all week in the locker room, which I think Taylor says there in that cut. That's the only way it works. And then I think what has to happen is you have to get the Patriots to a one-score situation going into the fourth quarter. Yeah. If you could just be within striking distance going into the fourth quarter, do you give yourself a shot at one play on defense here, or Dory Jackson finally makes a big play on special teams, or you know what, you block a punt, something. This the message has been the same for 2 weeks now. Anything can happen. You have nothing to lose. Go out there and let it all hang out, for lack of a better cliche.
Right. And listen, I mean, there's a formula for beating the Patriots, and I guess what the Titans have going for them in this sense, especially from a defensive standpoint, is that they've got a real good defensive front, especially in guys like Jarrell Casey and Derek Morgan and I'd say Brian Arakpo. And this is not a great Patriots line. So if you can get to Brady with rushing four, you know, that's what the Giants did, and that's how the Giants really got it done against Brady in the past. If you can get to him without having to bring extra players, you give yourself a much better chance of, you know, of winning, you know, of winning a game, or at least staying in a game, because Brady, if you can drop seven guys and get to him with four, Brady doesn't move well. We know that. And you've got an extra defender out there. So that being said, there's a formula, but it's not an easy one. And you're right. I think it comes down to little things in these kind of games. The ball's got to bounce your way. You got to get maybe a special teams play or two, and you got to get a Marcus Mariota that's playing like he was last game, and maybe possibly the game before, where he's able to move around, make plays with his feet against a defense that doesn't have a Hightower. You know, he's out and doesn't really have any guys that you point to and say, yeah, that guy's a game changer on the defensive side of the ball.
So I want to get deeper into the formula. Like, what is the actual formula for the Tennessee Titans to go up there and get a win? Some of that stuff you just mentioned, I want to go a little deeper into that when we come back. So we'll do that in just a few minutes here. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, make your picks for our Pro Football Pick'em Contest. You have a chance to win awesome prizes, including a trip for two to Hawaii, brought to you by Computer and Communications Innovations in Nashville. Sign up and pick now at thegamenashville.com. The formula for success for the Tennessee Titans on Saturday night against New England in Foxborough in a playoff game. We'll do that right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, the morning show. And we're going to get into the defensive recipe for success, the formula, if you will. We'll get into the offense as well here this hour. Preds, of course, get a big win last night, 2-1 over Edmonton. Of course, Nick Saban rumors swirling wildly about him going to the NFL, which none of us really believe. So if you want to chime in, 615-737-1025 on what the recipe for success is, the formula for the Titans. We're going to get to our defensive formula and some numbers you need to know about the New England Patriots. But first, Bobby wants to chime in. So, Bobby, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me okay?
We got you, man.
All right. I believe they need to I wasn't going to concentrate on the defense on this because I'm pretty confident in Coach LeBeau. He's going to disguise everything possible that they're going to do, and I get that. I think they need that needs to translate to the offense. I think they need to disguise everything that they're going to do differently than any other way they've done it all year, because you can be rest assured that Belichick, every lineup you take, every snap, he's going to know what's coming. So you better find a way to disguise everything you plan on doing. And that's my take.
No, Bobby, I appreciate that. And what's a great point there, Bobby, is that what I love about that is what makes Bill Belichick so special, Luke, is in the playoffs, he has sort of shown us two things that nobody else had ever shown us when he showed it to us. One was zero down linemen on defense. Like, there were times a couple of years ago in the postseason where he just started going to no down linemen. Like, nobody had their hand in the dirt. And you're like, everybody was freaking out. You know, like, NFL edge insiders were like, what is Bill Belichick doing? And then he was, like, running handoffs to his tight end.
Yeah. And now everybody's doing that.
So, like, he was doing – he does this stuff, to Bobby's point, he does this stuff ahead of everybody else. He's so far ahead of the curve. He's the only coach that, like, takes – he's the only coach that, like, influences the college football offenses. Everybody else takes inspiration from the college football offense. The only one that does it the other direction is Bill Belichick. And he's right. You know, Dick LeBeau has tons of experience coaching against this particular offense and against Tom Brady. And he's, you know, for years and years and years, they went head-to-head, of course, with Pittsburgh. So, I mean, he's got tons of experience. So I agree, I think, disguising everything. But that's no different than any playoff game. I mean, that's just what you have to do in the NFL at this stage of the season is show people something that they've never seen before, because otherwise there's too much film out there. Everybody knows everything at this stage of the season.
And I think it, listen, and I know this to be true for guys like Tom Brady, there really isn't anything you can show Tom Brady he hasn't seen. He's played long enough. He's been around long enough. He's seen about everything you can throw at him. So I think it's not so much about – I mean, everybody wants to disguise their defense. That's not a novel idea. If you can do that, great. But there's a formula, really, for giving Brady problems. And I just talked about this last segment. The formula is easy. You got to pull up some film from the Giants.
Easy.
Well, the formula is easy, but the execution's not.
There you go.
Well, the formula is you got to be able to get to him with four guys. And the Giants did that with that amazing front they had when they beat the undefeated Patriots. They did it twice. And it's out there. It's just a tough thing to do. You got to have the right horses up front, and you've got to get fortunate. And I'm going to tell you this. There's a number of quarterbacks in this league, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, you know, Aaron Rodgers, these kind of guys. You can't show them anything they haven't seen. Not only that, but they're going to show you looks. They're going to get you out of you're doing.
Yeah, it's almost like they don't even care.
They don't.
They don't even care what you're showing them.
I mean,
what I'm going to do when you do this, and that's all there's to
it. I would venture and say that, like, Tom Brady doesn't need to hardly watch film. I don't think he does. I mean, you've been in the league as long as he has.
Yeah.
You really can't show him anything he hasn't seen, and he's going to manipulate you from his side of the ball to make you show your hand. That's what they do.
He's better off just staring at himself in the mirror. Like, yeah. Just stare at yourself in the mirror, and you might learn more about what you should do than if you watch film. Like, he already knows everything there is to know about everybody else. It's just
right. Put on your UGG boots. Don't eat any right. fungus. Right?
Like, God, I look good. He doesn't torch these guys.
He doesn't eat fungi. Did you know that?
I don't think
no mushrooms. For
I don't
Tom
think
Brady
mushrooms
on a TB12
are,
diet.
Mushrooms are not a vegetable. Obviously, they're a fungus, as you just pointed out.
Right.
But I think I would vote mushroom as my favorite. Like. "Quote unquote vegetable."
Well,
even though it's not a vegetable.
I'm sorry, but is it like revolutionary not to eat mushrooms? Because am I missing something out?
No, I don't know. It's just kinda, I love them. I think they're like my favorite thing in the world. I love mushrooms.
Okay, because I didn't know. Like,
I'm being revolutionary over here, Julian.
Hey, I read that apparently TB12 will help you play football without any hurt.
Did you hear how smug Luke Rogers is about his?
I think
mushroom.
I think the smug cloud.
Oh, it's okay.
Smug
all
cloud is leaking through the door here.
Smug cloud.
It's all love.
Do you drive a Prius now too?
Oh man, I should, right?
And then you get smug about it,
dude. That South Park reference is great.
There you go.
Yeah.
I knew somebody would pick up on that at some point. But here's the. So I tried to look at the games in which the Patriots struggled or lost this year, which is only three losses. And a couple other really tight games that they almost lost to both Houston, where the Texans had them beat. Basically, they win that game 36-33. And then, of course, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who basically had them beat, but a referee took the game away, basically, on that play. Or I guess the rule book, excuse me, took them. There's one common thread, though, between all of those games. And you're right about getting pressure on the quarterback with four guys. We totally agree on that. That sort of goes – it's almost like – goes without saying in the NFL, if you can pressure, or football, if you can pressure with four guys, you're going to have a really good shot to win. They had 25 yards rushing, their season low, against the Miami Dolphins of all teams, and got beat. We all remember that weird game where they lost.
Where Cuddy just played out of his mind, too.
59 yards rushing against the Texans, a game they probably should have lost in that game. They had 77 yards rushing against Pittsburgh, a game they should have lost that was decided on the final play by an NFL rule that we all disagree with. And then the fourth worst rushing performance, of course, was 80 yards rushing against the Panthers. So the four worst rushing performances, this is sort of counterintuitive to Tom Brady, the four worst offensive rushing performances by the Patriots basically led to two losses and two games they should have lost. So to me, this is where the Titans have an advantage. This is where the Titans can look at their team and go, our strength matches up with how you play well against this team, the Patriots. Because again, we all believe the Patriots are going to win, and we all think the Patriots are significantly better. Vegas has them as a two-touchdown favorite for a reason. So when you try to drill down and find where the Titans can win matchups, their front seven, stopping the Patriots rushing attack and making them one-dimensional, which, again, Tom Brady could still just torch you. It's still very much a possibility. There's evidence to say this particular Patriots team, when they run the football, they win every single time. When they don't run the football, they're very beatable. And I know that's simplification of it, but look at the numbers. 25 yards rushing, 59 yards rushing, 80 yards or below, they basically should have lost games this year.
That's a good point, and that's what the Titans are good at. And Jarrell Casey and company up front are a very good run defense team. The other thing I would say defensively—
It totally shut down the NFL's leading rusher last week.
The other thing I would say defensively that they really, really have to key in on is Rob Gronkowski. And I'm saying that because if you look at the first half last weekend, Travis Kelce was the key to that big lead and the key to that offense in Kansas City. And they had no answer. And
do you think that the Patriots have the other piece, though, to interact with that, which is Tyreek Hill? Like, when Hill and Kelsey are running combo routes.
Yeah, they have Cooks.
And Cooks is that guy.
Yeah. So. And not to mention, I think they don't have Andy Reid on the sideline. You know, and that's the other thing I'd say. And look, Nagy got hired as the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, just got hired as the head coach in Chicago after what I thought was a pretty poor performance, which is fine, but that's not a reflection of him as a coach.
Pretty good offensive altogether. Year, though,
but they
last couple years.
The Patriots also don't have Kareem Hunt, so I just can't believe
they have 11 Kareem
Hunts. I still can't believe that Kansas City forgot about Kareem Hunt. That still gets me.
I'll give the Titans credit for that. I don't fault. I think they shut him down. Now, the problem is he had a big lead. How do you forget about the NFL's leading rusher when you have a big lead?
Didn't Nagy just start calling plays like 6 weeks ago, though?
Yeah.
So he 6 weeks of play calling and a terrible half, and now he's a head coach in the NFL. How does that work?
Well, it's the Chicago Bears, Julian.
I get it. Exactly. It's the Chicago Bears, where you shouldn't just have some rando who hasn't really been calling plays other than for 6 weeks.
Well, and that also speaks to one of those things that, like, you know, we're not close enough to the situation to know. Like, is Nagy a guy that's been extremely well respected in NFL circles and has been interviewed a bunch and, you know, has been close to getting a job? This is the old Jeremy Pruitt versus Lincoln Riley conversation, or Kirby Smart. Like, not every coordinator who just happens to get a job has the same sort of
pedigree,
pedigree or, you know, respect level within the industry or whatever. Maybe this guy, everybody loves this guy. I mean, who knows? I on the surface, Julian's right. Like, I have no idea, why is this guy just taking over play calling duties and getting a head coaching job? Even the picture on the front page of ESPN.com when he went, like, he looked like a criminal. It wasn't even a flattering photo. So we'll continue to take your calls. Joe wants to chime in, one of our best callers. ESPN 1025 The Game, 737-1025. We'll get you in if you want to chime in on what the formula is. We're going to go to the offensive side of the ball. I think the defensive side, I think it's pretty clear. Pressure with four guys, hold the rushing attack in check, and then just hope that Jonathan Cyprian and Rob Gronkowski collisions are car wrecks, I guess.
I don't know what else you do.
I don't know what else you do, because that's what helps with Travis. Unfortunately, you hate to see an injury play a role like that, but that is what happened. Kelsey went out, the offense came to a screeching halt, and it was Jonathan Cyprian who delivered the blow. He's the guy who's probably going to have to be knocking Rob Gronkowski around, because those two guys can absolutely mash when it comes to hitting.
And I think it's worth saying, too, that if you watch this Patriots offense at all this season without Gronkowski, they really struggle, because he ends up being sort of the proverbial every check down, where he can get himself open because of his size and because of the mismatch with a safety or linebacker.
What is the formula on offense for the Titans outside of Marcus Mariota being Superman? We'll do that and take your calls when we come back right here. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck on 3D today at noon. That's when he joins the guys to talk football, among other things, in sports every Wednesday at noon. Brought to you by Penn Station East Coast Subs. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall here on the morning show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Julian Council producing. We'll get to our offensive game plan. We're going to hear from the quarterback of your Tennessee Titans momentarily, but Joe in Spring Hill. Joe, you have the floor, my friend. What is up?
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. Hey, I love listening to all the Titans talk at the playoffs, but I think the most important thing they have to do is what they don't do, and that's not turn the ball over and not commit penalties. I mean, that's what happens in the playoffs. It's really, you know, not a matter of having this great game plan they've had. They've seen everything on film. I think of the Patriots' first run in 01, AFC title game, two special teams touchdowns. Super Bowl, we get three turnovers from the Rams. They actually outgained us by 160 yards. Being here in Nashville for 13 years, I got to admit, even if the Titans were to win this weekend, it wouldn't bother me. The only thing that would bother me about that is if it was such a big win for the organization and then next week they go into Heinz Field and lose 49-3. That would kill me. That's what happened the last time the Patriots lost in the divisional playoffs. I have to say this. I'd love to see the Titans make it a game, but I just look at the history of the divisional round. There's a writer up in the Boston Globe, Dan Shaughnessy, and he jokes every year now for the divisional round what tomato can they're going to serve up to Brady and Belichick. And I hate to say it, but I think that may be the case. I look at, you know, what Brady's done against Dick LeBeau defenses over the years, and it just doesn't fare well. I know the number's 13.5. I got to admit, I don't even think that number's big enough. We're probably looking at about a 3-touchdown Titan loss. You know, that's just what I'm thinking. But, you know, that's why we talk about the game.
Yep, yep.
You know, history says it can happen. Thanks so much for taking the call, guys.
Yeah, Joe.
Have a great day.
Absolutely. You just print that out. Send it to Taylor Lewan, who says he doesn't listen to media but kind of does listen to media. That right there, Joe, bulletin board material right there. Says two touchdown spread, not big enough for his Patriots.
Yeah, Lewan, when he was on Rich Eisen show, he said, like, I was just listening to local sports talk a minute ago.
Which clearly means he listens to this show.
Yeah.
Who? I mean,
because the Rich Eisen show comes on after.
Yeah, exactly. So he listens.
He was clearly listening to.
Well, shout out to
Steve Lehman and I talking about Taylor Lewan yesterday.
Hey, shout out to Rich because you know Rich got his start in Northern California in a little town called Redding, which is about an hour north of where I grew up in Chico, California.
I think of Redding.
And every time I see Rich, we talk about Redding, California, because he was the sports guy on the local news. Rich, you're the man.
Rich, very
thanks for listening.
Very successful. Clearly, Taylor Lewan listening to this program every morning, which, again, Steve Lehman and I had a big conversation about the Taylor Lewan comments yesterday.
All the smartest people listen to this.
Well, it's
this
very
show.
Obvious. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Clearly, and the smuggest people. So,
well, Julian Council does listen. He's forced to.
So I think there's an interesting angle there, though. With first of all, Joe, I love you, man. No penalties, no turnovers. That's sort of like I don't know. That's every football coach in the history of football has said, hey, let's not have penalties and let's not turn the football over. So, like, yes, they're going to have to his point, they're going to have to play a near-perfect football game.
I think that's what his whole point was. And you could tell from his accent that he's a
he's a big Patriots
He's a big Patriots guy. Yeah. So I think that I like that he calls in and does give a little love to the local team here. But, he's correct. There's all the little things that everybody talks about and even all the cliches in football. Those things all have to go the Titans' way, I believe, for them to have a viable shot at beating the gold standard in the NFL, and that's the Patriots. And, yeah, you don't turn it over. You minimize penalties. You can't have any dumb Taylor Lewan penalties, speaking of our friend Taylor, who apparently is an avid listener.
The problem with those penalties for me, or I guess the good thing, I don't know what the right way to say that is, I don't want him to play any differently. That's my issue. I want him to play with that edge, and sometimes that edge boils over into those types of penalties, and unfortunately they've come a couple of different times at bad times, but actually he's been pretty good this year. So I don't
right.
I don't want to like cut him off at the knees. I want him to be the vocal leader of the team. I want him to
sure,
to
but
be
just
the
do it
guy,
do it within the between the whistles.
Right, do the fiery guy. Yeah. You also don't need to do it at your locker after the game when everybody loves your quarterback. Like, we genuinely love the quarterback. Like, it's not, we're all huge fans of the quarterback, which probably isn't that professional of us, but we just do because I believe in him. Marcus Mariota, speaking of the quarterback, when you talk about the game plan for the Tennessee Titans on offense, we all know what it's going to be. I'll give you a stat that you need to know about that, but this, of course, is the quarterback of your Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota, talking about how crucial the run game is going to be.
Huge. When you're able to run the football the way that we did, it opens up a whole lot of different things. And when you're third and manageable because you're running the football well, when you're getting the red zone and you're running the ball well, you create favorable matchups and favorable situations. So to have that in the backfield is huge, and hopefully we can continue that.
So the number you need to know on Derrick Henry, who, of course, has been, I wouldn't say brilliant against Jacksonville, but incredibly productive and important. And then obviously brilliant last week against Kansas City. I'm fine using the word brilliant. But the number you need to know in his career as a Tennessee Titan, just over 2 years and some change, 12-0, the Tennessee Titans, when he gets at least 11 carries. When he gets 11 carries or more in a football game, the Titans are undefeated. So I assume he's going to get more than 11 carries or 11 carries or more this weekend against the Saturday night.
I mean, how much is that skewed by garbage time, though, maybe last season?
I'm sure there's a couple of them in there.
Sure.
But the point is when the Titans run the ball effectively and Derrick Henry gets touches, they are winning. You know, for whatever the reason is, I mean, I'm assuming last year a lot of it was about DeMarco Murray. This year it wasn't. This year DeMarco Murray was not nearly the player he was. Clearly not healthy. Offensive line not nearly as good. But he's had 54 touches over the last two games in do-or-die situations for the Tennessee Titans. He's had over 300 yards from scrimmage, and he's scored twice.
Yeah.
You can't argue what the formula is. We know the quarterback has to be spectacular. But outside of that, I don't think you can reasonably depend on the receivers to make big plays. I think Rishard Matthews is very dependable, and I think Delanie Walker is very dependable. I think those guys can make a big play from time to time. But I don't think you can say, hey, we're going to beat the Patriots because Corey Davis is going to make a 35-yard touchdown catch. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can do that. I think you can say, if Derrick Henry gets 20-plus carries, gets over 100 yards rushing, the quarterback plays great and our defense does what it did against Kareem Hunt, and like the Patriots have struggled when they get the running game stopped, then you could argue, hey, this is the way the Titans get the game to the fourth quarter. That's the formula for getting the game into the fourth quarter close, and from there, all bets are off. From there, you just need a bounce of the ball to go your way. And that to me is the formula.
Yeah, again, I mean,
it's not earth-shattering stuff here.
It really isn't, and it's a lot of it's, you know, just pretty basic football stuff. But yeah, I mean, if you can hold them to, you know, minimal rushing yards and get to the passer with four and run the ball with Derrick Henry, and I really think that, you know, aside from all that, I think it really does come down to Marcus. We saw what Marcus is able to do last game, really put the team on his back with a couple huge plays, including the lead block for Derrick Henry that kind of iced the game there, put the game on ice at least, and then, of course, throwing himself a touchdown and making some big third down throws. It's going to be – if your quarterback comes to play and if they let Marcus be Marcus and he can make plays with his feet, it gives them a much better chance of doing what they do. And I think, you know, I think we need to see a big game out of one of those wide receivers as well. I think that's what's kind of been missing from the passing game. You always have Delanie Walker, but it's time for a guy like Rishard Matthews to bust out, and even a Corey Davis.
Since coming back from the injury, I think Rishard's been pretty good. I think he's been a pretty dependable guy.
I'm looking for a big game from somebody. And, I mean, Eric Decker had a good catch in the end zone and stuff, but we need those receivers to do a little bit more for this offense to be a little more dynamic.
No, there's no question about it. So it'll be very interesting to see. This isn't earth-shattering stuff. How about this? Let's hear from Bill Belichick next segment on the Titans offense. He had so much to say. He gave away his whole game plan. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. How about that?
I love it.
Next segment.
Bring on Belly.
Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're listening to 102.5 live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, Bill Belichick, a man of many words, loves to hear his own voice, of course, talk about football teams and things and events. So we just talked about the Titans offense, Derrick Henry. They're 12-0 when he gets 11 carries or more in his career. We obviously expect Marcus to have to play a huge role. We need the receivers to step up. Basically, everybody has to play a really perfect game for them to win this, and I think most everybody understands that. Bill Belichick just waxed poetically about the Titans offense. This was Bill Belichick.
Well-balanced team, good running game, good runners, quarterback's athletic, a lot of big play receivers, Walker's outstanding, have a lot of explosive players at the receiver position, Matthews, Decker, Taylor, that whole group.
Thanks, Coach. Basically, Titans have awesome players everywhere is what I just heard. Do you think he believes that? Like, he mentioned Taywan Taylor in there. Like, this is like Stillman's personal vendetta against the Titans is that they don't play Taywan Taylor enough. There's obviously been a couple of reasons why he hasn't been ready to play yet, but he basically just said, you know, good, got some good runners, athletic quarterback, got some explosive receivers. That's it.
That's actually a lot from Bill Belichick.
You might be right.
Right? I mean, usually he's drinking orange juice and being smug, which is the word of the day today. But, no, I don't know what you say. If you're Belichick, I have no idea what you say. As long as you're not talking about that article that came out last week and the internal drama, I think he's happy to spread more than a few words around about an opponent. As he said this week a bunch of times, we're all in on Tennessee. We're all in on Tennessee.
Yeah, we're on Tennessee. Yeah.
Thank you, Julian. For him to say more than that. I mean, hey, he's getting – the Titans ought to pin that up.
He mentioned players' names.
It's amazing.
I was startled by that.
It was startling.
and what's interesting is Joe in Spring Hill called earlier last segment and said, hey, you know, a bunch of people up there. And listen, they've already made the jokes about – Dan Shaughnessy made the joke about two bye weeks, and then what did he say? What can of tomato will be served up for the Patriots in the divisional round? Well, Dan Shaughnessy will join us tomorrow on the program. So, Titans fans, you'll have your opportunity to hear from Dan Shaughnessy coming up tomorrow. And I was asked this on Twitter by Ramal, one of our best listeners, as all of you guys are amazing. But he said, do you only think that the scenario with the Patriots front office doesn't hurt them because they're the Patriots? Any other team, it would hurt them. And that raises the question of the stage for both teams. And I think it is really about the Patriots and their ability to handle this stuff. Deflategate wasn't an issue for this team.
Right. Spygate.
They won a Super Bowl. Right? Wasn't that the year they beat the Seahawks? Like, the entire calendar year we talked about PSI and footballs. And should Tom Brady, and like a lawsuit between the NFL and Robert Kraft and Goodell and Brady and the suspension, and like none of that mattered. Like, they've proven to us that distractions aren't a thing.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick could want to strangle each other and it would not matter to this franchise.
It wouldn't.
It matters to everybody else. It doesn't matter to them. So that is, to Ramal's question, I think the answer is yes, it is a Patriots thing. That I don't think it matters. And if you think Robert Kraft's getting in his team's way right now, like Tom, I saw a quote, Tom Brady was asked about the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. I'm like, do you think that happened a month and a half ago? That might be a distraction for every other team. It's not a distraction for Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could not care less about any of this stuff. They are so focused on what they have to do today to beat Tennessee, what they have to do tomorrow to beat Tennessee. Like, yeah. They do not care about any of this stuff. And it is just a Patriots thing.
Yeah, and interesting you brought the stage up, because my question for you then, Brayden, is Foxborough this weekend, the Patriots at home in the divisional round, is that too big of a stage for the young Titans team?
I think that's a great question, because my answer immediately is absolutely not, because they're not even on the stage, really. And Dan Shaughnessy has sort of said as much, that they're a bye week. They're an 80-1 team to win the Super Bowl out of eight teams. The Jags are 23-1, and they're the next worst team. I mean, no one is giving this team a chance. They're a 2-touchdown underdog. Like, I think they're stage left. Like, I don't think they're on the stage.
Yeah.
So I don't think it hurts them at all. I think if this was had they actually accomplished what USA Today or Peter King or all these people had said in the preseason, which again, we disagreed with on the show at the time, we thought that was a little too much too soon for this organization and these players yet. We think there's a chance they get there, but it wasn't going to be this year. If this Titans team was 13-3 and they were at home against a brand name AFC franchise like the Patriots or the Steelers, right? If they were at home, they were favored, they had the big 13-3 season, then I would say this is a big stage for this franchise and young players, and we don't know how they're going to handle it. I don't think because there's zero pressure, yeah. I don't think it makes for a big stage for them. I mean, I think, like, to Taylor's comments earlier on the Rich Eisen show, he's like, this is a really cool opportunity for us. And I think that's how they have to look at it. It's like, this is, you know, throw caution to the wind. Go out there and play fast and furious as best you can and see what happens. Maybe you get a lucky bounce. Maybe you block a punt. Maybe a Dory Jackson does something in the return game. And all of a sudden, you're in the game in the fourth quarter. And guess who the pressure's on then?
Right.
The Patriots.
See, I would say, like, it's almost akin to, I got the chance to go see Garth Brooks here in town. Which, I mean, if you haven't seen Garth play.
I took the wife to that.
Dude,
yes, it was solid.
I took the girlfriend there, and it was... Dude, it was phenomenal. I almost akin to the idea of whoever opened up, and it was, I can't remember her name, and that's part of the thing. Whoever opened for Garth, I mean, that opportunity to be on that stage, there was no pressure on them in a sense. I mean, because everybody's there to see Garth anyway. You know, I kind of think that's the way the Titans are. You get to open, if you're Brett Eldridge and you got to do your first tour and you open for Taylor Swift, it's just an amazing opportunity. And really the pressure in that show is really on Taylor Swift, and the pressure in that show is really on Garth Brooks to perform. And I think that's not a bad analogy. I think there's a bit of pressure because you are on a huge stage, and you could be a young...
To me, the Titans would be like the opening act.
That's what I'm saying. They're the opening act, yeah.
So I think it'll be very interesting. No stage at all for the Titans, in my opinion. Again, if they go 13-3 next year and they take the next step and all of a sudden they're at home and they get a bye week and the Steelers are coming in... You know, 10-6, and they kind of won some games down the stretch, and all of a sudden you're a 6-point favorite at home. All the pressure's on you as the Titans organization. Because I do think if this game gets close into the fourth quarter, which again, no one's really predicting, but if it's close in the fourth quarter, that's where all the tightness and the pressure goes to the Patriots. The problem is they're the Patriots. Like, they deal with those moments every single year, literally every single year. Chad in Hendersonville. Chad, what's up, man?
Hey, I think this is a unique situation like we've never had in a playoff game like this. I got some family up in New England, the Sports Fanatics, and they've never seen a situation like this where all the media up there is talking about this internal fighting with New England. There's very little pre-game discussion about this Titan game. And you know, there's so many different reports that are coming out now, you know, that Belichick – didn't want to trade, the Garoppolo, all that stuff, that is consuming these guys. And I almost feel like Belichick, you know, has a little thing going on right now where he's almost at a point where he's saying, you know what, you know, if you guys want to do it your way, do it your way. I just think there's so much turmoil, you know, in their camp right now. I think of all games, and I'll compare it to like in Minnesota, their entire, every resource they have right now is on the New Orleans Saints. Any, whether it's the football team, the fan base, it is 100% on the New Orleans Saints, and they're going to come out and probably play their best game that they can possibly play. When you compare that to the New England Patriots, all the resources are not on the Titans when you really dig into this thing. And this is a, and you take that and combine it with how soft this New England defense is, and if the Titans are serious about going up there and smashing them in the mouth and running the ball, and Marietta's committed to running the ball 8 to 10 times, they have more of a shot than they've ever had in terms of this era.
Chad, good call, man. I will say this. The Vikings better have all their resources focused because they're going against a Hall of Fame quarterback with a Super Bowl ring, and you have Case Keenum. That's the biggest difference between the Minnesota-New Orleans game is you have a Hall of Fame Super Bowl champion coming into your building, and you have Case Keenum. The difference here is you have Marcus Mariota coming into your building, and you have Tom Brady. Like, that's the difference. Like, Tom Brady, 80% of Tom Brady's resources are probably good enough to win this game.
Tommy!
That's the key. And I don't disagree that the smash-mouth physical thing is the way that the Titans have to play. Mariota running the football is the way that they have to play. I actually think I would take the Titans in the points in this one. I actually think that they are well-suited to play a good game. I don't think they're going to win. I think that the Patriots pull away in the end and make it look a little bit, you know, I think the game looks a little bit closer on paper than maybe it really was. You never really felt like you had a chance to win. But I do think the Titans are going to play well. And I just am not, if this was any other team in the world, we've seen Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and this organization deal with more distractions than any other franchise in the history of this sport. And it's not, like you mentioned Spygate, it's not just that. It's, you know, weird situations with like the LeGarrette Blunts of the world. And
Aaron Hernandez.
Like they have the weirdest, like the most bizarre sort of distracting stories ever always come from New England and they don't ever matter. So I just don't like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady again and Robert Kraft could all hate each other and they can put it aside and focus on the task at hand unlike anybody else ever has been able to.
And I promise you that this isn't a new thing of the season. They probably have hated each other for quite some time. It's just the story is now
Belichick and
out.
Brady have never been like best buddies. Like it's never been a thing. And they're very, you know, Belichick can be hard on people. And
shocking.
Part of that story is that Belichick almost, he called out Brady and, you know, ripped him in the locker room after the game against the Texans last year in the playoffs and berated him for a couple of minutes. And Tommy's just like, I'm done with this. I don't care anymore. But, like, it doesn't stop them from going and winning a Super Bowl.
Right, exactly.
Making the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. We're going to switch gears when we come back. One of the best in the business. One of the best guys that has ever worked in this market in the sports world. Rick Byrd going to join us, the head basketball coach for your Belmont Bruins. We'll do that when we come back. Luke Rogers, Braden Gall, ESPN 102.5 The Game.